Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Mika Kaufman, the founder and CEO at Fiverr, the world's largest and fastest-growing freelance marketplace built around the concept of hiring people to complete short-term gigs. Now, I know most of you have surely heard about Fiverr. They originally got started back in 2010 before freelancing really exploded onto the scene as such an attractive career path for millennials in particular. Fiverr is famous for originally starting out by encouraging freelancers to offer their most basic service at just $5 and to use more premium add-ons as a way to increase project values. Because of how simple the concept was and the speed with which you could hire help, as Mika says, we tried to make hiring freelancers as easy as buying on Amazon. The business instantly exploded in popularity. Before starting Fiverr, Mika was already a serial entrepreneur, having started three previous technology companies, and Fiverr was really born as an experiment, an attempt to help solve the problem of quickly hiring talented freelance help with one of his own businesses. In this episode, Mika and I are talking about how he and his co-founder got started with Fiverr, at first with the goal of creating a better solution to the challenge of finding good, reliable freelance help, and what they did to unlock viral growth for the company in the very early days. We're digging into how Fiverr got their first freelancers to join the platform and what Mika and his team did to get companies on board to quickly hire those freelancers. We cover how Fiverr's changed over the years, what's new today, including Fiverr Pro, their premium community of higher-priced gigs. Mika also shares his best piece of advice for freelancers who are just getting started today, and so much more. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Mika Kaufman. Mika, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having me.
All right, Mika, I've got a question for you that I've been starting off all these interviews with. I'm curious to hear, what book are you reading right now, or what has been your favorite recently? And it doesn't need to be a business book.
Good, because it's not. So I'm reading a book called Way of Kings, which is a fiction or fantasy book, which I really, really love. It's super long. I'm actually half reading it and half listening it to on audiobook when I run or when I'm in the car, and it's really, really a great book because it has so many nuggets about life and about leadership, and I love it. It's highly recommended.
What's been your biggest takeaway so far?
I don't know. I think it's about approach to life. It's about seizing it. It's about being a role model. It's about modesty. There's so many important things. It's super fantasy, but it's extremely detailed, and it speaks about characters that resembles knights with their virtues and beliefs. And I think there's so many similarities to how we think about leadership within the tech community, within startups. And so I really enjoy it.
I love that. All right, adding it to my list. So Mika, just about everyone listening here today is going to be familiar with Fiverr, which has become one of the world's largest online marketplaces for freelancers. But you know, naturally, you guys didn't start out there. Can you take us back to the very beginning in 2010 and tell us about sort of what led you to co-found the company with Shai?
Sure. So it was really, I mean, the fact that both of us were, you know, serial entrepreneurs, it wasn't our first startup. And we've been working pretty extensively with freelancers ourselves back then. And I think that, two things happened. One, we understood the friction and the pain that has to do with everything from finding a good freelancer to getting into a point where you actually partner with someone to work on a project. And so that by itself was a huge friction that we suffered from. It was a personal pain, and we thought that this could have been handled in a different way. And and there was so much to improve on it. But then there was something else that was really, really interesting, and that was this macro change in the workforce. The fact that freelancing was starting to accelerate as a cohort, as a group within the overall workforce. I think back in 2009, it was probably about 30% of the American workforce, which is not a small number. But we felt doing a little bit of research that the penetration or the participation in freelancing was actually growing super fast. Now these days we take it as an obvious, but back then it was not obvious. And to be honest, we didn't actually know why this was happening. Today it's really, you know, everybody knows. It's pretty obvious, right? It's millennials. The fact that they started to participate in the job space, and they knew that they had options, and they were no longer pursuing, you know, a career of one workplace where you get a gold watch at the end. So they wanted to play with their time. They wanted to experience different areas of expertise. And we saw that trend, and we said, okay, great. So if this is happening, and it's kind of a revolution. Timing-wise, if we can come up with an idea that makes freelancing more efficient, makes it something that people can actually enjoy, this might be a huge thing. As big, maybe, as the disruption of e-commerce, you know, two decades ago. And so this was really in the core, in the essence of Fiverr. And what we really did was to say, you know, if we think about ourselves as a technology company, right? If our leading edge is technology, how can we utilize technology to improve on the experience of freelancing? And when we looked at what was out there back in the time in terms of doing online freelancing, we saw that what was done online was to import the same high friction that you have in the offline freelancing just to the online. So it's basically the same stuff, right? You go through the same pains of looking for a freelancer, and then, you know, going through many, many offerings that from different freelancers, and then getting to the details of the deal. So what's included, what's not, when is that going to be delivered, what's going to be the price, and so forth. And it was really old school. And we said, no, this needs to be something simple. And the actual idea was very, very simple. We said, if we can make the experience of buying a service online as easy as buying a product on Amazon, we're done, right? And basically, everything that we've done was to push for the productization of services, to make them simple, so that anyone can actually go through a catalog, much like they go through Amazon, do a search, get recommendations, use machine learning to improve on it, use AI to recommend, create a horizontal marketplace so we can offer many different services across many different categories. Does it sound familiar? Yes, because that's Amazon. This is what they've built for 20 years. If we can do that for services, we have a home run. We have a huge, right? So this is what we focused on to do. And I think, you know, the actual thing with the pricing, you know, that we started from $5. People thought that this was the business, but basically this was on, you know, borderline gimmick, right? Because what we wanted to do is we knew that pricing would be one of those friction points. How do you price something? And we said, in order to do scale really fast, we wanted to remove that last frontier of friction away. And we said, okay, great. So we need to figure out a unit of price that would be a constant that would make sense for, you know, for customers. You would not think three times before you buy, because, you know, $5 is a price of a frappuccino in Starbucks, right? And you know, it might be great, and sometimes it's not as sweet as you wanted it to be, but it's $5. It's not You're not going to be devastated. And for freelancers, if you're smart enough to actually scale down and slice your talent in a smart way, you can make it profitable. Let's say, right, I'm bilingual, so I can translate from one language to the other. So I would probably offer one paragraph for $5. I'm not gonna translate the book for that. And if you need multiple paragraphs, you can order multiple times. And people were so smart about it. Our imagination was really limited in comparison to what people came up with. And this was really just how we started. And from that point on, it just went up market. And we introduced price elasticity, and we allowed people to get smart about it. And really, the experience right now that you have on Fiverr is really like any other e-commerce. This was never done before. Never done before. And this is where I think Fiverr really revolutionized the freelancing industry.
Yeah. And it's clear even today still when you evaluate something like Upwork, where you have to go through that back and forth, right? The thing that you're saying was a huge pain point for you and, you know, obviously is for other people as well, you know, like being able to just go and buy what you need and then basically take it from there with the freelancer is sort of like what I get too. And that makes sense. Were you guys working on Fiverr as kind of a side project at the time you started? Like, were you running your own business? Were you working a day job? Did you guys kind of like quit and then go full force on Fiverr? What was that sort of like?
Yeah. So it wasn't a side project. This was right around the time when I was in last phases of selling my previous company and looking for the next big thing. And I think, you know, looking at this as a pure consumer internet product, what was really important for me, and this was kind of the agreement that we had between ourselves when we started, was that we should create a very simple concept of a marketplace that both of us could probably hack ourselves. So we don't need funding for it. And we can probably fund it ourselves without a large team, so we can do it really lean. And this should be a product that its only way of growing would be grassroots. It needs to grow organically. It's not going to be something that you push through paid marketing, or you push by, you know, consistently begging the media to cover it, or, you know, because you know, from my experience, these types of things tend to be either, you know, the unit economics doesn't make sense because you don't even know what your product is capable of doing. And from the media side, great. So you get the hype, you get the spike of traffic, and then it dies, and it doesn't necessarily brings you the audience that you need. So we said we needed this product to be sticky so that people spend time on it. They explore it. They enjoy it. They interact with it. They engage with it. And then it needs to be super viral so that people share it and say, you wouldn't believe what I found. Or I just ordered this it's amazing. You should check it out. So if we can have that viral coefficiency or viral loop to be extremely efficient and is extremely sticky and it generates money from day one, from the first transaction, then we can start, you know, figuring out if we have a product, if we have a fit, if we have, you know, if we've done that leap from zero to one. And only then, as we think about scaling beyond that, then it would make sense to start fundraising properly. And this is exactly what we've done. So for the first probably 8 or 9 months, we've been, you know, we've been hacking it ourselves, coding it ourselves, designing it. And it was really launched without any coverage. It was just us telling 3 friends each, come check it out and don't blog about it. Just don't say anything. Just tell us what you think.
Do you remember how you got, say, your first 100 freelancers and clients on the platform then? Was it all still sort of like organic grassroots outreach?
Yeah, it was that, and I think we've done all kinds of things. We've done some really interesting things on the product that I think pushed people to participate. And I'll give you an example for one thing, but we've already done. We've also done some outreach for people in really unusual places, like dating sites. Like, you know, you can find people's profiles on dating sites, and they talk about their passion and what they do for a living and what they like to do. And if you can reach out to them and say, you look really talented. You should check out what's going on Fiverr, because it's great for people like you. So these were, you know, kind of the hamster strategy of really attracting. But the thing that we've done with the product, which really worked well, was that in the beginning, when you landed on Fiverr, it was really the homepage was a list of services that people offer, and we created a special syntax for a service, and basically that syntax was, I will something for $5. That was it. That was the syntax. And what we've done was that when you looked at the listings, everything said, I will something for $5. And above that listing, there was a form. And that form had just one field, which is the blank between I will and for $5. And there was a submit button. So people thought that they can type anything without registering, without doing anything, and it just appears on the listing. So they thought about something, they typed it, they clicked submit. It doesn't get listed, of course. What happens is it takes that text and take it to a second page where they have only three or four other fields that they need to fill in to finish. But they are already invested. Right. So this was crazy. It went so fast. It was really beyond anything that we imagined.
So one thing I've noticed a really big push around on Fiverr lately has been with Fiverr Pro. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So basically the seeds for Fiverr Pro came from within our community and our customer base. That said, okay, great. So I'm loving Fiverr and I'm doing a lot of things with the platform, but I'm ready to do more. I want to go bigger. I want to do more in terms of size of projects. And I want to do more in terms of having the selection of extremely, extremely high talent in the sense of the freelancer's side. And it was really important for us to allow that opportunity for people. And what we figured out was that there is a place for a highly vetted group of freelancers that have the proper education and the years of experience and the previous clientele that really qualifies them, because. I mean, freelancers are everything from people that just started 5 minutes ago to people that are doing it for years. Mm-hmm. And so it was really important for us to have those extremely professional freelancers to enjoy that platform for the first time. And we really wanted to create a space for them where they get the acknowledgement of being qualified to be named professionals. But they enjoy using our tools and using our deal flow, our ability to bring customers. And so it was really the entire community. On the customer side, it's really giving the selection, giving access to the world's top talent. And for the world's top talent to say, great, so you can bring your own customers. But freelancers always chase the next customer because they need to take care of next month or the next quarter. And so instead of that, saying, you know what, instead of spending anything from 100% of your time to 20% of your time marketing yourself, just join Fiverr and we can take care of that. We can bring you the customers. So you don't spend your time on the wrong stuff. We market for you and we bring you the customers. And for, I think that for those professionals, the idea of productizing their services or standardizing their services was yet another revolution, right? The fact that we've been able to prove that you can take very sophisticated and complex projects by some of the most crazy talented people in the world and offer that as a product that people can just come and click order and it's done. Again, this was never done before. So that was really the incentive. And I think, you know, it's still in very early stages as a product, but what we're seeing is, you know, you go through the catalog of services and service providers, sellers, and the type of talent is just, these are just people that you couldn't hire before. You couldn't find them anywhere. And even if you heard about someone, how do you approach it? What do you do? How do you get their contact information? And when you do, you need to quote unquote date them, right? You need to get to know them. You need to persuade them to do a project with you. It's like a dating. And we said, why? Why should it be like that? Right? Both sides want to do a transaction. If we can standardize it, if we can productize it to a point where it's just one click. So you have people, you have copywriters that have done copywriting work for Apple. You couldn't hire that person before. Now you come to Fiverr and you just click a button and that person works with you. How amazing is that? This was never done before. So and you have the same, you know, you have a guy who has done super famous design work for Google and people that have done, you know, work for agencies like Saatchi and Saatchi and brands like Rolls-Royce and Samsung. And, you know, and we're super happy with what we're seeing right now. And I think that the input that we're getting from our community, the community of sellers and buyers that are interacting on Fiverr and in Fiverr Pro is just phenomenal. So I think we're off to a good start with this product.
So like, all right, assuming that someone listening today has the education, the experience, sort of like the, maybe even the personal brand component, right? How much, if there is such a thing, how much should people expect to earn if they are a Fiverr Pro seller? Or does that vary just as widely?
It varies. It varies. You know, we've had a nice story even before Fiverr Pro about it was a story in Forbes that was talking about the idea was to talk about a female seller, but we had many sellers before her that has made over $1 million on Fiverr. Hmm. So sky's the limit, basically. I think that it really depends on the category that you operate in. It depends on the amount of energy and effort that you put in setting up your profile on Fiverr, and being smart about your offerings. It's about, you know, getting the first customer and getting a great review for that. Our technology is such that every seller that joins our marketplace is being pushed, is being promoted to get a chance, right? Basically, if they do well on that, the system automatically pushes more and more customers on them. So it's really about deciding how much you want to engage. And this, when you think about this, it's not really different than your, you know, offline career. Or, you know, any other means of doing business, you need to invest a little bit in it. But I think that basically that could vary between, you know, hundreds of dollars a month to sometimes thousands and tens of thousands of dollars a month. It really varies.
So, Mika, this is my last question for you. What's the best advice that you could give to our listeners here today who are maybe just getting started freelancing or somewhere in the middle of their path, building up sort of their client work and hoping to go full-time with freelancing? What's the best single piece of advice you would give those people today?
It's probably, you know, I think that there's really two components in working with clients. One is the actual delivery. What do you deliver? Does it create high value? Is it by itself high quality? And the other component, which is in my book, not less important, is the quality of your service, your interaction, your attentiveness to the customer's need, and how you treat, you know, those customers that are a little bit harder than others. I think that much like building a startup, building a company, right? When you build a product, you want people to use that product. You want people to love that product. And usually that is achieved by when you start having super high touch in your relationship with your customers or your user base, and really understanding how they view your product and how they view the value that it creates for them. And this is why I think that what we're trying to do with, on Fiverr is when people join us, we put a lot of emphasis on quality in general, but we break down quality to a lot of different sub matrix that we make transparent to our sellers so they can understand how they're being perceived by their customers. And this is really important because it gives you pointers to where are the areas that you can improve. And those sellers that are actually improving those metrics are seeing amazing changes. Sometimes they double or triple their business. Even if their product is not changing, it's just their, you know, the way that they treat their customers. So I would really encourage freelancers to give emphasis on those two points. And I think that whatever you do, and you know, if you can get your own customers, that's great. But I think that, you know, freelancers have nothing to lose by joining and participating a platform like Fiverr. It costs nothing, and we market for you. So basically, it's, you know, if it doesn't work, no harm done. And if it does, it you know, it lowers your, you know, the time that you spend on marketing yours.
Yes. Yes. I love that. All right, Mika, thank you so much for your time. Can you tell us more about where everyone can learn about Fiverr and you yourself and check everything out online?
Sure. Just go to Fiverr. That's FIVERR.com. You have everything there.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.